Hughes is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program as we dive into Isaiah chapter 66 with a mission titled, A Nation Born in a Day. So we hope that you can stay tuned and follow along with us for today's program. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with the word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we could get back together again and study your word. Lord, Isaiah 66, like we just praise your name. We're at the end of the book of Isaiah. So much wealth of information about you, your purposes, Lord, your blessings that you have in store for your faithful. Lord, shine on us today so we may know these better and know you better in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, as we are in Isaiah chapter 66 with a mission. Title of our message is A Nation Born in a Day. But before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nathan, what a cause for celebration today.
Yes, yes. Woohoo! We need a cheer, brother. Woohoo! Because we have reached chapter 66, the last chapter in all of Isaiah. Folks, if you've been coming along this journey with Vic and me, we started last year in 2025 and have worked our way verse by verse, chapter by chapter, all the way to the end. And if you've been with us that whole time, shout out, fist bump, or as Rocky would say, Project Hail Mary, fist my bump. You did great. So glad you could join us.
Oh, Nathan, so exciting. And to our listeners, you know, we were working on a special sound effect. It just didn't work. So Nathan and I decided to just clap live.
Yes, yes. We have reached it, man. 66. This is Isaiah is the longest book in the Bible. And though Vic and I have been doing this podcast now for going on 16 years, we haven't addressed Isaiah as a whole. I mean, in parts, obviously, but as a whole, because it's so long. But we bit the bullet and did it, and we've come to the end. And brother, I think it's time to celebrate.
I think so too, Nathan. I think it's just a joy to be able to get to this milestone. And honestly, Nate, because when you and I started, we were just praying about it. We're like, well, what book should we do? And then we talked about Isaiah, and both of us felt like, whoa, that's a big commitment. But here we are.
Here we are. And folks, you want to have a little drum roll, Vic? Of course, my sound echo. Woohoo! Okay, what are we going to move on to after this?
Well, after this, we thought, why not dive into the amazing book of Jeremiah, another long but yet powerful book. And I think it's going to go so well, Nathan, with the book of Lamentation that we did many years ago.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah and Jeremiah weren't contemporaries, but the warnings that Isaiah gave, Jeremiah lived out as Israel was about to be besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar and exiled. So it's a natural continuation. Obviously, the Old Testament authors thought so because they placed Jeremiah right after Isaiah. And so it's a natural progression. So folks, if you've joined us for Isaiah 66 and all the 65 chapters beforehand, then I think that you'll be blessed by staying with us as we go into the book of Jeremiah after this.
Praise the Lord. And Nathan, maybe someone just tuned in for the first time and they happen to be catching the tail end of the book of Isaiah. How might they also take advantage of all the other programs that we've done before?
Well, we put the entire archive on our website at christinprophecy.org. That's christinprophecy.org. Go under media and then podcasts and you'll find it right there. You can catch up on all the other previous chapters in Isaiah and all the other podcast series that you and I have done over the years. Folks, we even had one series where Vic and I taught through the book of Revelation from the view of the 72 angels or groups of angels found in the book of Revelation. And we wrote a book, right, called The Mighty Angels of Revelation. And actually, our ministry right now is having a 2-for-1 deal, buy one, get one free. So for $15, you can get 2 copies, one for you, one for a loved one or to give away. And you'll be blessed by that book too. And Vic and I will be covering in part my newest book, The Coming Millennial Kingdom, what life will be like for us when Jesus reigns on earth. And so a lot about what the millennial kingdom and a little touch on the eternal state can be found in that book. And Vic, if someone wants to dive deep into Revelation, tell us about your other book.
Nathan, thanks for asking. Yeah, I also wrote the Navigating the Revelation Letters, which can be found in Spanish or in English in Amazon.com, simply by looking for my name, Victoriano Batista. And it's just a simple read talking about the seven churches of Revelation, Nate, and how the messages are so applicable for us today. So if anybody's interested in that as a complimentary as well, I think it will go well with the rest of the books that you and I have written.
Yeah, I mean, we can only kind of touch the surface on a half-hour podcast, but if you want to go deeper, these books and resources will bless you. Of course, you can find them on Amazon.com and our website at ChristInProphecy.org.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Nate. And Nate, our last program prior to this one, Chapter 65, what a fun program that was, Nate, because it really was great news, a great message, and it had to do, it left us with talking about the millennial kingdom, the kingdom of God, the new heaven and the new earth. And again, it complements your book, complements on the millennial kingdom. And what an amazing chapter 65 that was. Very encouraging.
Yeah, like any kind of movie or epic story, the last chapter or two usually is the final one. It's the good news, it's the victory, and it's the same here with Isaiah. We are now in the last chapter of the book, and it's victory, the Lord's victory. His remnant followers, they rejoice in that victory as well and get the blessings from that victory. And the relationship with the Lord that we have lost due to sin is restored. And so I'm anxious to get into chapter 66. It's a wonderful chapter.
Oh, praise the Lord. So, Nate, and also if you are joining us, we want to invite you now, if you want to grab your Bibles, we'll be reading from the New King James Bible and follow along with us as we dive into Isaiah chapter 66. Nate, will you be able to open us there, verses 1 and 6, 1 through 6, and I'll read verses 7 through 13 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
All right, chapter 66, verses 1 through 6. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered, and when I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word, you brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies.
Verse 7, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. So I will bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord. So shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. So Nathan, chapter 66 opens up with excitement.
It does. And again, as we mentioned in the last episode, there's this cycle all the way throughout the book of Isaiah where the Lord is calling his people to repentance. For the most part, they reject him. And that's what we'll read when we get into Jeremiah. And so he says, that's it. If you're going to continue to reject me, I will do what you want. I will go away. But unfortunately, I am salvation and life. So if you go away from me, you go to hell. And that's what he's telling these people here. You're chasing after, all these things, these idols and these worthless things, and I am like the source of life. And it's really frustrating for God. You can see that again and again. He also says too, is that what does he want? Does he want offerings? Does he want a temple built in his name? Does he want big, epic worship services? Does he want lots of money donated to him? And he compares all that to, the things that people do for idols. They're minor and unimportant. What does the Lord want? He wants on him, verse 2. This is the key, I think, almost to the entire book. On him, I will, let me back up. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. We see this throughout the Bible. Those who humble themselves before the Lord are lifted up. That's what the Lord wants. That's the message of Isaiah. Repent, return to me, restore that relationship, and exalt in the blessings we'll have forever.
Nathan, what a great point. And I was eyeballing that verse as well, because it's just beautiful. A contrite spirit and those who tremble at my word. And I have to say, the word of God really causes us to tremble, sometimes in a good way, in the fear of the Lord. When you see how amazing God's word is, his promises, Nathan, it's a wonderful thing. But it's also the judgment. When you see of the judgment that is coming upon the wicked, wow, that does cause you to tremble. But a contrite heart, Nate, it reminds you of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, where it talks about blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's how we should come to the Lord, right, Nate? Poor in spirit with a contrite heart, and God honors that.
Absolutely. You know what? If you look up contrite, I've got dictionary.com pulled up. It says caused by or showing sincere remorse, or filled with a sense of guilt and the desire for atonement. It's also penitence. At our church, we had a service this past week, and there was a guy who came to our service, and he started arguing with one of our church members, I could overhear it, about the need for repentance to become saved. And this guy was, adamant. You don't need to repent. You don't need to be penitent. That's a work. You just need to accept Christ as Savior and you're saved. And yet that goes so against what the Bible teaches, especially here in Isaiah 66. And I know the argument could be made that Isaiah was written before the new covenant and before Christ sacrificed himself. But do you think that the Lord no longer wants people who are of contrite spirit, who are remorseful over their sin, who ask for forgiveness and turn to Jesus Christ? Is he given up on that? No, there's verses throughout the New Testament about how the Lord is looking again for that, like you said, Vic, the Beatitudes, the humble and contrite spirit, the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Many passages say, repent and turn to the Lord that times of refreshing might come. So repentance is very much a part of the process of salvation. That moment of justification isn't, yeah, I believe, because the Bible says even the demons believe, but it's that contrite spirit, that realization that you've rebelled against God and you feel remorseful for it, and you ask permission, you ask forgiveness. That's what the Lord is seeking here with his people. And for many of them, they're not getting it, and so they will not inherit eternal life.
Nathan, wow, that is so true. And as we look throughout the entire Bible, even the book of Isaiah, we see so many hints there of the way to salvation, how God was sending his Messiah, how God was sending that seed of hope for the future. And whoever placed their trust in the Lord will be granted that eternal life. So we have to continue to pray for the Jewish people as well as for the lost people. But God is not through with Israel. How do we know that? Because as we look here in Isaiah, Nate, these are some amazing prophecies that pertain to the nation of Israel. I mean, verse 7 and on, right, Nate? How fascinating. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. And of course, that's speaking, right, Nate, prophetically of the Lord. It reminds me also of Revelation chapter 12, where we see that wonderful scene there of Israel. And then verse 8, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? And Nate, you and I have seen some of these miracles even during our time.
Yeah, a lot of people will take this passage and say, okay, this is about Mary giving birth to Jesus. And it can be interpreted that way. But if you look at the context, verse 8, it's saying, shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion, which is a word that represents Israel, was in labor, she gave birth to her children. And this is a prophecy that many prophetic teachers believe is a prophecy about the restoration of Israel as a nation, which happened on May 14th, 1948. And we know this is the case because going up to Resolution 181, where the UN gave the right to Israel to become a nation again in 1947, on May 14th, 1948, Israel declared themselves a nation that came back from the dead after almost 1900 years. And when was the labor pains? The labor pains actually started after, because as soon as Israel became a nation, all the hostile Islamic nations began attacking her. And again, war after war after war, till to this day, we see Israel having to fight off Gaza. They're currently embattled with Hezbollah, with the United States and our allies were against Iran. Those are the labor pains that instead of Israel overcoming those and becoming a nation, she got them afterwards. So yeah, Vic, this is very much a prophecy about the restoration of the nation of Israel.
And Nathan, we have seen, these dry bones coming to life. We've seen God's miracles just happening right before our eyes. And that's why even this was the question asked over 2,000 years ago, Ezekiel chapter 37. I love the short video that you made a few years ago regarding those dry bones coming back to life. And what a beautiful picture, because Ezekiel 37:1, there was a question asked, and it says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, and there was a very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live?" And Nate, you and I are just talking about, right, those dead bones, we're seeing them back in the land with flesh on them.
Yeah, Ezekiel's prophecy is kind of a mirror of what we just read in Isaiah 66, to the fact that a dead nation would come back to life again. It would be reborn. Jesus compared Israel to a fig tree, and he said, when the fig tree rebuds, in other words, when it becomes a nation again, that will be the time period that we'll see the return of Jesus Christ. And so it's been since 1948, since Israel became a nation again. And so we are living in that time period, that era, that genia is the Greek word. It can be interpreted generation, but it really means time period of the return of Jesus Christ. And so this prophecy in Ezekiel 66, folks, we have seen that happen in our day. It was fulfilled in our modern 20th century. And we are living now in the 21st century as Israel continues to go through the birth pains. But that also means that we're in the time period that we'll see Jesus Christ return. So folks, we are living in that time period.
And Nathan, not only that, but what's exciting is that we could also possibly be that generation that is alive and remains for the rapture, like the Bible says. You know, it's these are things that we've been talking about and people have been hearing for thousands of years, just like the Israel becoming a nation, and they thought it was impossible until in one day it happened. The same way the Bible says that the Lord is going to return for the church. No one knows the day of the hour. But Nathan, we believe we might even be that generation that could be raptured up and not see death.
Yeah, again, Matthew 24:32 says, "Learn from this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer's near. So you also, when you see all these things," and I was talking about the tribulation, "know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, this time period, will by no means pass away until all these things take place." You know, Vic, Dr. Wolvard, who wrote the wonderful Bible Knowledge Commentary, he was the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, he said this. He says, "When Halloween comes, you see the Christmas decorations going up in the stores, and therefore you know that Thanksgiving is right around the corner." So, Vic, when you say, are we living in the time of the rapture? At the very fact that the prophecies concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ are happening, that's like Christmas. The rapture, which happens before the tribulation, that's like Thanksgiving. It's even sooner. So, brother, I agree with you.
I love that. And Nathan, that's why this chapter is so exciting. As we get to chapter 66, as we're almost coming to the close of the chapter, look what amazing prophecy. it leaves us with. And not only that, but one that is tangible to us living in such a time as this, because we're actually seeing all these things happening right before our eyes. That miracle that took place back in 1948, and we see the restoration of God's people. All these things are just lining up for the return of the Lord. And this is why, Nathan, it was almost like a question that was asked. Has anybody ever seen such a thing, that a nation to be born at once? And sure enough, we have seen that. But not only that, Nate, but as we continue looking at chapter 66, verses 14 and on, we see again how the Lord continues to unfold his plan for the future. Nate, I was going to pick it up then, verse 14 through 18. Maybe you can bring us to verses 22 through 24 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Okay, just back it up actually to 12 because you stopped at 11.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, let me go ahead and do that. I apologize. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her side, shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with a fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and an abomination of the mouth, shall be consumed together, says the Lord.
Verse 18, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all the nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set up a sign among them, and those among them who escape I will send to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, who draw the bow, Tubal, and Java, to the coastlands far off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all the nations, on horses and in chariots and litters, on mules and camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and one from Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be abhorrence to all flesh.
Whoa, Nathan, what an amazing closing we have here in the book of Isaiah. As we have such a mixture here, we see the millennium mixed in with the judgment, and then we see back again God's eternal plan. So we have all this combined in these closing verses.
Yeah, and it's tough to be living in this age because we see corruption just everywhere. Brother, if you watched last month where Dr. Fauci was brought before the Senate committee, and 111 times he used the Fifth Amendment, which he wasn't allowed to, but he did, to cover over all the crimes. I think that man has the blood of millions on his hands due to his ego and incompetence. And you know what? He's going to get away with it. You know, all that Epstein Island nonsense, all the suffering that all those victims, they're going to get away with it, but only in this world. And this is what the Lord's saying here. He says, if I'm a God of perfect love, then perfect love means also perfect justice. And evil will be punished. You know, all the crying of the saints that we read in Revelation, how long, O Lord, till you return and vindicate us? He says, that day is coming. So that's the perfect act of love, when the Lord finally brings justice upon his enemies. And that's the final message that he leaves the people. He says, all right, all this wonderful new heavens and new earth are coming to those who are my children. But for the rest of you, you are going to be outcasts, where the fire is. He's talking about hell here. And that's not just for a nation, but it's also for an individual. When the individuals do not repent and turn to the Lord, then they too face the fires of hell.
Nathan, and that is a scary thing. I mean, when you think about it, verse 18, for I know their works and their thoughts. In other words, like you mentioned, we can't really get away with anything. God knows it all. We can't fool God. Some people think that they can pull a fast one on the Lord, but at the end, they're going to find out how wrong they were. And that's why, as we mentioned earlier, God calls us to repent, to turn from our sins, to confess our sins. And those that do, God will forgive them for their sins. But if not, God is also a righteous judge. And Nathan, verse 20, I was looking at that. Then they shall bring all their brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations, on horses and in chariots and litters, mules and camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering of clean vessel into the house of the Lord. So, Nate, the time is going to come in that restored Jerusalem, God, Nate, where we're going to be gathered together annually and then forever with the Lord. How glorious that's going to be.
Yes, when the Lord says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, that's a promise. The most bitter, angry atheist and pagan is going to stand before the Lord, bow a knee, because he's just so amazing. The love that emanates, the beauty, the power that emanates from him, you can't help but every time you see in the Bible someone going before the throne of God or seeing Jesus in his deity, they fall before him. They just can't help it. And so all this will pass away. And you know, it's wonderful too, Vic, in this passage, what you just read, he also leaves a promise to his faithful that the nation of Israel, of all the nations of the earth, will survive into eternity. We will know about the nation of Israel. The Jewish people will be a priestly people. And that's a promise to the Jewish people throughout the millennial kingdom, and I believe on to eternity. Again, the requirement is that they've repented, returned to him, and have that just relationship with him.
Oh, absolutely. And Nathan, I also love, I know we only have a few minutes left to this program, but I also love where it talks about verse 23, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And that all involves everyone. And that's why our hope is that as you come to worship, that right now you will recognize your need of worship, your need for God, and how beautiful that's going to be, where someday we're going to be taught by the Lord, Nathan. All the questions that we've ever had, they will be answered by the Lord. No more guesswork. And I just love some of these verses.
Oh, yes. The fact that the Lord is infinite, that means that when we go to heaven, we're not going to know anything, because that would make us omniscient. But we're going to always learn. And because God is infinite, we'll always be learning. It'll never end, Vic.
And Nathan, that's the wonderful thing. You know, as we get ready to close this chapter of chapter 66 of this amazing, amazing book, what a great blessing it will be for you to close the next chapter of your life with giving your life to Jesus, opening your heart to him, so that all the things that we spoke about here, you will enter into all those blessings. But according to the word of God, it has to start with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And right, Nathan, this is the inheritance for those who trust in the Lord. And that's why before we close our programs, we always give an invitation, because we want people to see the joy that it is to have a relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You do that by what we just read here about how the Lord looks upon those who have a contrite heart. In other words, reach out to the Lord in repentance and from your heart pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I've been rebelling against you. Please forgive me. I love you, Lord, and I want you to be the Savior and the Lord of my life. And you will inherit all these promises that the Lord says. You will be a child of God, and you will inherit eternal life with him. Give your life to Jesus today.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nate, for that invitation. And maybe you gave your heart to the Lord. We would love to rejoice and hear from you. You can call or text us at 305-992-9537 or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. And we would love to celebrate that wonderful relationship. We also want to encourage you, if you came to the Lord, find a church, good Bible teaching church, join and get baptized and grow in the things of the Lord. So, Nathan, what an amazing book, the book of Isaiah. We've come to the close of 66 chapters. We thank all those of you that have been tuned into our programs and following along with us. And Nathan, we're going to send them all a gift and a certificate. No, I'm just kidding. But it's
wonderful. Yeah.
But no, we do thank you all for being part of the program. And Nathan and I, we're so joyful that we get to do this. So Nate, any last quick words maybe for anyone that has been joining us now for the past 66 chapters?
Well, repent, return to the Lord, and rejoice in the fact that he loves you so much. He died for your sins so to provide you salvation and a restoration of that relationship. That's the message of Isaiah, and that's a message for Israel, but also for each and every one of us.
Praise the Lord. And that is a wonderful closing message. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones say goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Congratulations on finishing the book of Isaiah with us. Have a blessed day.
Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish.